There's like one not terrible straight white man in this.
Oh, yeah. Two.
Yeah.
They both have the same name.
That's true. That was a little confusing at first.
But also, does it make it easier for us to keep track? Like, oh, the Phils are okay.
Don't.
Okay. I like it. I'm into it.
Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Fam, join the Facebook group. I love our Facebook group. I'm so grateful for our Facebook group. We've been at the Facebook group for like 8 or 9 years now.
Yeah, a wonderful listener set it up for us beginning.
We both were like, we have a Facebook group.
Yeah, and they were like, yes. And then they were like, I don't feel like moderating this anymore.
Can you guys
like,
take it over?
Enough.
Yeah, we'll do it.
But thank you for doing that.
It's so fun. It's such a great place to make new friends, have some community, talk about the episodes. It's great. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group because we wanted to make it really hard to find.
Right. Just as wordy as possible.
As many words as we can find. Also, join us over on the Patreon. You tell them about the Pates.
Yeah, we're on the Pates. We do like after parties where we do AMAs and we give advice, but that's where all of our ad-free episodes live. So it's ad-free versions of the episodes on the regular feed, but also all of those series that are like 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes, like that's where we cover that on the Patreon.
And that's all at the $5 level where you can also get drag bingo once a month, which is like the funnest thing ever.
Yep.
At the $20 level, our Hero Bell level, we do make special episodes just for them.
Yes.
And we just record one from Unsolved Mysteries from 1991.
Two words for my Unsolved Mysteries girlies. Who's Tyler? If you know, you know. If you don't know, you're going to go, it's a roller coaster ride in
you
one half.
You need to be brought into the knowledge.
Yeah. So, and it's not just episodes just for you. Like, that's sometimes what we do, but we also, like, send you stuff in the mail occasionally.
That's
it's where
you
like
get the calendar at Christmas. We always send out a pride thing. We did a trucker hat this year that said, you can sit with us. Because we want people to feel included.
Yeah, that's true.
What are we talking about today, girl?
It's called Manhunt, The Liar, The Thief, the con man. He is all three of those things.
And an idiot.
And an idiot. And a monster.
And a true, true monster.
Just horrifying all around.
£75,000. £130,000. £50,000. The money was just going out like water.
He took £600,000.
You hear about con stories. And they last like a few months. They don't last years and have a child in the process.
This was a man who was excellent at what he did. But what he did was basically ruin people's lives.
He stole my money and I wanted answers.
She will chase that man to the end of the earth.
We need to find him. So we got onto the internet looking for a private investigator.
I told him, listen, we know where he is. You have to come with us right now.
He just puffed out his chest and just said, don't do this to me, Chrissy.
He was like a cornered rat, and she found him.
You don't want to think that you've been in a relationship with a predator.
So we start in a place I can't pronounce.
You want to try?
Okay, it's Chelatham, Gloucestershire.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I think it's Chetlinham.
Chetlinham.
Or Chetlin.
Did I get the Gloucestershire?
Sure.
Because I said all of these, like, it looks gorgeous. I love the UK. Like, I love, love, love. But all of these places sound like Shakespeare invented them, and they're all in The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly what
like,
happened,
like, Stratford-upon-Avon or whatever.
Yeah.
I want to go to Stratford-upon-Avon.
Yeah. Do it.
Okay, great.
Go in a little hobbit hole.
I wasn't expecting you to come along, but I'm thrilled to have a travel companion.
No, I'm down with the hobbits.
Okay, great.
You know, I'd fit in with the elves, I think. I want to be with the Ents and the trees and everything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fucking Mordor, though.
No. Well, we meet Christine Handy. She was going through a divorce in 2003. They had three kids. We only meet one of them. Their son, Simon, is here to talk to us.
Yeah, she was married for 11 years.
I thought I'd be married forever, so it was a big thing, my divorce.
It was definitely a very difficult time for my mum, but we never really knew that. I think they were trying quite hard to shield us from it.
Simon is Christine's son. It was a really hard time, but all of that was hidden from the kids. And I'm like, you know what? Good. No need to drag them into it like so many people insist on doing.
1,000,000%. Keep that shit away from the kids.
So Christine was kind of like coming into her own as a single mom. She had her routine. She was working part-time at a boutique. Like, she was like, I was happy.
Yeah. Her divorce settlement was, she tells us the number, £650,000. That's a lot of money.
So it was £650,000 in 2003, which is $817,000 in 2003, which is like 1.5 $1.4 million today.
Good. You get it, Christine.
Hell yeah.
You get it in that divorce settlement.
Hell
you
earned. Yeah.
She's raising the kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we don't know anything about what happened, just that this was hard on her, obviously, being married 11 years. And she was like getting her groove back.
Yeah, yeah. Truly. And she buys a house outright, no mortgage.
Oh, my God.
She said there was a small amount left to live on, but she knew it wouldn't last forever. So she gets a job. She gets a part-time job in London. And every Monday, she's got a routine. She gets the kids off to school. She would, quote, pop into Soho, have a coffee, and read the paper before work.
And
I love Soho.
Like, straight out of a sitcom.
I know.
Everyone's always knocking on, or barely knocking on everyone's door to have, like, breakfast in the morning before work. Since when?
It's a British sitcom starring Elaine Page. It's just called Christine.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I love it.
Me too.
And then she'd go to work at this job she loved. Like, everything was coming up Christine. One Monday, a man asks to join her, and I'm like, oh, God.
But I know. From 1,000 miles away, you can see it. She's sitting outside at this outdoor cafe.
And next minute, I was aware that there was somebody stood next to me, and I looked up, and they said, do you mind if I join you? And I just said, help yourself. And then I looked around and realized that all the other tables were empty, which I thought was strange.
No, this is weird because all the other tables are empty. And I'm like, so he's hitting on you.
He's hitting on you.
So his name is Alexander Darkin?
Wait, hang on. It's Alexander. Oh, they say it so beautifully in this. Alexander D'Arikan.
Yeah, Alexander. Well, he's going to have a whole mouthful of a name in about 5 minutes.
Wait until we get to the name he tells her.
So he's a financial consultant, and he comes into the city every Monday to, quote, do his banking.
Yeah.
They chat, whatever. Christine heads to work, and she expects to never see him again. It's just a conversation they had one morning over coffee.
Yeah. Next Monday, she goes to her coffee shop. He's there, same table, same chair. And he's like, hey, Chrissy. And she's like, hey, Alexander. And I was like, look, in a way, I can see how this could be charming, that, like, oh, it's my new life. It's my once a week into Soho. Now I've got a friend. Like, this is kind of fun or whatever. But, like, my spidey senses, I know it's because what we do for a living, but my spidey senses are up.
And they're also talking about it in a documentary. It's not like a friend of ours telling us this lovely story. Right? Like, context is important here.
I wonder if there's more to the story.
I wonder.
Travel. Girl, Wild Alaskan Company is back, and not a minute too soon, because we have so much fish from them, and we just pulled it out of the freezer the other day because you can freeze it and store it and all of that. We thought it was the most delicious seafood I've had in forever.
Yeah, if you're not hip to the Wild Alaskan Company,
please.
They are the sustainable solution.
Correct.
So they're the best way to get wild-caught, perfectly portioned, nutrient-dense seafood delivered directly to your door. I don't think you've tasted fish this good, I'm just saying.
I literally haven't, and like even when I go to like fancy supermarkets, I've yet to have fish that I've purchased like locally that is better than the fish from the Wild Alaskan Company, which we are obsessed with.
Yeah, and it's 100% wild-caught, never-farmed fish. So that means there's no antibiotics, GMOs, or additives, just clean, real fish that support healthy oceans and fishing communities.
And fam, you can try this risk-free with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're not completely satisfied with your first box, which you absolutely will be, Wild Alaskan Company will give you a full refund, no questions asked, no risk, just high-quality seafood. We need our protein. Like, everybody
We really do. There was one time I was, like, really hangry, and I just said to Mike, I was like, I need protein! And now it's an inside joke we have, but literally, we do. We need it.
It's true. So, fam, not all fish are the same. Get seafood you can trust. Go to wildalaskan.com/TCO for $35 off your first box of premium wild-caught seafood.
That's wildalaskan.com/TCO for $35 off your first order.
Thanks to Wild Alaskan Company for sponsoring this episode and honestly sponsoring our dinner and lunches for most of last week.
And that I need protein bit is true. We need protein. Don't get hangry.
Don't get hangry.
So they have coffee. Christine tells him all about her divorce. Then they go their separate ways.
Can this be a cautionary tale? We gotta be pretty guarded about super personal information with brand new people. This is advice I will not take.
And psychics.
But this is advice that I will give.
Don't give them too much.
Yeah.
They're really psychic. They would know.
Oh, 100%.
But it's the same thing. Don't show all your cards.
No, because I was thinking about why do we do what we do? And I really hope that like people are learning less. Like I hope that we're learning lessons. Listeners are learning lessons.
I sure am.
This man is going to scam the living shit out of this lady. Right. And it starts with him just getting the little pieces of nuggets of information that he needs. And like very, very quickly, she's done nothing wrong. She's not the bad guy. No. Christine is great. But like, if we can take something away from these stories, like let's be a little guarded at first. Once again, I will not take this advice.
No, of course not. But yeah. And also because he's kind of starting a little slow. Like yes. He lets, you know, she leaves and she's like, oh, I won't see him again. You know, like now
but
we're
the good ones
second.
Are patient. You know what I mean? Oh, we learn from Con Mom. We learn like these people are willing to like put in the time.
So it happens again next week. This is the third time. And now Alexander buys Christine a coffee. It's already waiting for her. Like, oh, here's your order. Like trying to be cute.
And like, this should be really sweet. This should right. be the beginning of a beautiful love story.
Well, it's not.
JB's had kind of a difficult day today. And she's, I love it. Look, nobody wants you to have a bad day, but sometimes when you do, you know, you really let
but
us
like,
have it.
But like, where's the lie? It's just not.
It's just not.
It's just not.
It's just not.
And we start, like, the more Alexander talks about himself, the more I'm like, oh, red flag. So Alexander tells Christine.
Right. We started talking about his education, and he said he'd been to Westminster School, and he'd been to Eton, and that he'd gone on to Oxford University at the age of 15. He had degrees in engineering and economics.
And he was at Oxford by the time he was 15. I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
It's just like when something's like, oh.
Right.
In this context, immediately I'm like, does it all go back to Oxford? No. That's not the answer. But it is something that made my ears go like,
Because Doogie Howser, he is not. You know what I mean? From Newsies?
From Newsies.
How could I ever forget Max Casella? I think about that show all the time.
And The Sopranos. He was in The Sopranos. First time he showed up, I was like, oh. I know. He's great.
Oh, he's the best.
He's not bad, is he?
No. Max Casella? No, but I was just listening to, I was like approving our episode edit of the one where you did your macho impression.
Oh,
and it
sure.
was so your
hey!
Macho.
I shot the clerk. Oh my God, that movie is perfect
it's
from beginning
so
to end.
Good.
So Alexander asks, this is where I'm like, oh God.
I know.
Alexander asks for Christine's number. She says no.
No.
And then she says, he looked really wounded. So I said, okay, fine, here's my number. And I'm like, ugh. So this guy has her number and he basically
but
starts
like,
harassing
literally,
her.
He has her number. Right. You know what I mean?
But he starts harassing her.
Yeah.
And she says, he kept asking me to go out to dinner with him. I'm like, block the number.
I know.
You don't know this person. Just block the number.
Well, because I think that she's feeling a little flirty. She just wants to go slow. She's like, I said, let's not do dinner. Let's do lunch. Like that feels safe to her.
Right. But like everyone out there, your gut is right the first time.
Yeah.
She said no at first.
Exactly.
Like she was kind of, and then she was kind of like, oh, then he kept asking, and oh, he made her feel bad. Like this happens to women all the time.
And I gotta say, I think that he's looking for women who will act that way because that's how he gets her every time in
every
this.
Every single time.
Because she says no, and then she feels bad, and then she does it.
So like first she says no to the date, then she says yes, then she says no to dinner, then she says yes to lunch. Then lunch was great, like good enough that Christine enjoyed herself to be like, yeah, I'll go to the wine bar for date number two.
Yes, yeah.
So it was another very nice time until he produces his passport and he's like, Christine, I need you to know who I really am.
This is unbelievable. So she opens the passport. I'm going to do my best here.
Okay, go ahead.
She opens the passport and his real name is Alexander. What's the second word?
Mark.
Oh, I put March.
It's the easiest one.
I know, but I wrote March.
Alexander Mark Alphonsus Nathaniel De Arakan de Rothschild Hatton. I said, like, oh, that's rather a mouthful. And he said, yeah, well, I just wanted you to know that I was a Rothschild.
Alphonsus Nathaniel De Arakan de Rothschild Hatton.
It took the subtitles two frames to cover. It wasn't one line of the subtitles.
No.
It took them
two frames.
They had to split it up because the name is so long. And Christine's like, all right, so you got a long name.
Exactly.
What's the problem?
And he's like, I just wanted you to know that I'm a Rothschild. Now, Chrissy says all she knew about the Rothschild, I didn't even know that was a real thing. I thought that was like a fancy department store.
I knew as much as Christine knew, which is they're an incredibly prominent name in banking. They started, and then I Wikipedia'd it.
Uh-huh.
They started out in 16th century Frankfurt.
Oh, like, my God.
There's like a lot. This is not a Rothschild podcast.
No,
so
not
please.
Yet. Yeah.
But like, it's a name where you're like, oh, that's no joke. Like you throw that name around and when it comes to money, you're like, oh.
And there are people like, there are Rothschilds to this day.
I think so.
There must be. So she's saying like, he's making her feel special by telling her a secret, like this guy's got the con down to a science.
And she's like, oh, wow, he trusts me.
Yes.
They have a great night at the wine bar. He kisses her. She says, I felt very flirty. floaty. And I'm like, yeah, to quote Carrie Bradshaw, you were drunk and he was rich.
Right. And once again, like, that should be fine.
Would we not all feel floaty?
Honest to God.
So they are now officially dating. Again, this started out because Christine said no.
Right.
And I just want people everywhere to know, it's no shade to Christine, but it's like, if your gut is saying, no.
Yeah.
If like you don't think about it, you're just like, no thanks.
Right.
Maybe like, go with that.
Lean into that.
A little bit.
I know.
And it's hard to do when someone's puppy-eyeing you and whatever and making you feel bad and what's the harm and then you feel like a monster. I know. The world is designed to work against us. I hear you.
It's true. It's true because it is her gut to say no. But I think she's single, maybe kind of a little bit ready to mingle.
Sure. And that's fine.
When she says
she shouldn't
no.
She should be punished for it.
I know. No. God, no. But when she says no and then offers like a lower level, he says yes, but then is able to talk her into the higher level thing.
If we're starting out negotiating,
I know.
Bad news.
I know.
So they're dating officially. Alex is showing up with flowers, like great conversation. They have all the same interests, like I'm sure they do.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, the big thing is that Christine's kids really liked them.
Yeah, and the kids are young. Simon's the only one who's here, but when we see, this is 2003 that this was all happening. It's now 2025 and Simon looks like he's like 27.
Yeah, and I think this was only from like a few years ago this came out, so.
Yeah. So like Simon was probably not even 10.
Yeah.
You know?
And Simon's like, you know, he was always really nice to us. He dressed very smartly. And like, we see a lot of photos from this time. This guy is very comfortable. He's lounging all over the couch. He's holding her kids, hugging her kids.
Taking them to like fancy places. He would give them treats.
That was very attractive to see that he got on well with the children. And the children did respond to him.
She's obviously single with kids. And it's nice to have a man around who was keen to be involved with us.
So, yeah, Christine's happy. The kids love him. And Alex is like, yes, my plan is working.
Yes, yes.
So it's October 2003, 3 months into the relationship. Alex has been accepted to the London Business School. He's getting his MBA. Let's break out the champagne.
He brings literally champagne to, like, celebrate this whole thing with her. He's getting a thing called a bursary, which I had to look it up. It's a scholarship.
It's a scholarship, which is weird because he's a Rothschild, right?
So right.
You're like, well, and he's like, oh, the thing about that is that all my money is in Swiss bank accounts. And I don't want to move a single cent over to the UK because of the taxes.
Right. Because COVID didn't happen yet, so we couldn't blame it
Remember?
On that.
Remember? I mean, oh, I can't move my money because of COVID, but you can move your money into my account. Like, make
then,
it make
but
sense.
Then they believe it? Like, why?
I don't understand. So he doesn't get the scholarship. Like, this is what he tells Christine.
Yeah.
He tells Christine that he has this big, long meeting to get the scholarship, and he doesn't get the scholarship because they look at him and say, well, with a name like Rothschild, you shouldn't be asking for money.
And he's devastated. He's almost in tears.
And so with a name like Rothschild, he asks Christine for the
money.
Like, he wants £75,000, which is almost $100,000.
Yeah, and it's like, this guy's gotta know about her divorce settlement. Like, somehow he must know. She just bought a house, had a little bit of money left over.
Well, she told him.
Right, exactly. And so £75,000 is about what she would have left over. She's smart in this moment, and she's like, I can't do that. Like, that's like my little nest egg for my family. And then he says, could you possibly ask a friend?
Also, he should have, he's asking for money that he allegedly already has.
Exactly.
So she goes,
the pressure started to build and I felt backed into a corner to sort of help him. And I went to the friend to ask if they'd consider loaning me the money. And they said yes.
So she asks a friend for the money and she lies.
Yeah.
She tells her friend it's to redesign her kitchen and the friend says yes. First of all, who is this rich friend who's totally fine paying for someone else's new kitchen?
$75,000, here you go.
And also, girl, what are you going to do when you don't redo your kitchen? Like, that's a lie that you have to really follow through with.
Oh my God. Well, now she's got to redesign her kitchen.
But she can't because all of that money is for him.
You know what she's going to do? She's going to like move the refrigerator to the other side of the room. Maybe she'll like paint the walls or something, get a new table.
It's like, show me those blueprints. If I'm giving you $75,000.
You didn't even knock down a wall?
Like,
you know what I mean?
I expect to be there for the first dinner in the new kitchen.
Literally, you would, like, that would be the thing.
I pay for the shit.
This is my kitchen.
Like, it's my kitchen. I can come whenever I want. And then suddenly you're not redoing your kitchen.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That's a bad lie.
No. And also, like, I don't know. This seems really extreme to me. Once again, I'm not blaming Christine, but like when your brand new boyfriend asks you for $75,000 and then gets mad at you to the point of making you feel like you have to ask a friend, you got to leave that guy.
Yeah. And if you're a part of a really powerful financial institution, just like get the money.
I know.
Where's your fucking privilege, man?
Exactly. And so what we're saying is this is never right.
It's
if
never
you
right.
meet a Rockefeller and they can't pay for dinner, they're like, not a Rockefeller. They're not.
There's a problem.
They really, I promise you, they're not. Christine never says this. I'm not. not assigning this to her, but my guess is she's dazzled by the potential of money down the road.
I think a lot of people are, you know?
Travel down the road, back again. Girl, Pretty Litter is back. Tell us everything about Macaroni.
Macaroni's great. I saw Ashley over July 4th weekend, and there were several other people there. She was holding court talking about Macaroni, how great he is, and how she knows he's healthy thanks to Pretty Litter.
Well, that's the whole thing. Pretty Litter has that health indicator, so when the cat uses the litter box, if it turns a different color, then you know you need to take the cat to the vet, because as I always say, you might not know this, but cats can't speak English.
Yeah, and it was like an actual Pretty Litter ad just in real life, because everyone at the barbecue was like, wait, doesn't your house stink? And she was like, no, let me tell you why.
And if you don't have Pretty Litter, your house does stink. Also, Pretty Litter, this is a big one. They ship free right to your door, so no heavy bags to carry and no last-minute pet store runs. I remember that was the worst thing, was like carrying those heavy, heavy bags or boxes from the car or from the store. Like, none of that with Pretty Litter.
Yeah. And just to go back to the stink.
Oh, please.
So they have this advanced odor control.
Yeah.
So that means your home smells like your home, not a gigantic litter box.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they have an ultra-absorbent formula, which uses less material than clay litter. So that means you're not like traipsing it all over your house and you don't have like litter dust.
Ultra-absorbent formula, that's my drag.
Sure.
Okay, great. Yeah. Fam, right now you can save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy at prettylitter.com/TCO.
That's prettylitter.com/TCO to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy.
Prettylitter.com/TCO.
Okay, and just saying.
Yeah, please.
Pretty Litter cannot detect every feline health issue or prevent or diagnose diseases. A diagnosis can only come from a licensed veterinarian. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. So it's 2004, 6 months into the relationship, and Christine's like, everything's great. And I'm like, is it? Your rich boyfriend doesn't have any money. You're lying to your friends.
And now you can't have your best friend Sylvia over for dinner anymore.
And stealing money from them. Like, how great could it be?
It's not that great.
So Alexander pressures Christine into having another baby.
This is insane.
He would talk about how fortunate I was to have my three children. By this stage, I'm 39. And he was saying, we're in a relationship together. It's my right as a person to be able to be a father.
It's my right as a person to be a father. Excuse, I beg your finest fucking pardon.
And they're also, they've been together for 6 months.
3 months later, she's pregnant. And it was a surprise to her. And I'm like, wait, but were you not trying? Because I thought he was like, he demanded a baby. So she realizes she's pregnant and like suddenly, and it's a surprise.
Yeah, after like a long, like girls weekend skiing, which barf.
Yeah, like three, skiing.
Why is anybody going skiing?
Oh my God. You know, it's the cat cult. We just did that horrible ski trip where everyone had to meet for the first time.
No, oh my God, I know.
Forever.
Gwyneth Paltrow gets almost killed on a ski slope. Why is anybody going?
I don't know.
You know?
I'm certainly not.
She won that lawsuit.
She did. I'm there in the lodge drinking that hot chocolate.
But
I'll see you guys later.
And I would definitely do that one time.
I'll wear the cute ski outfits. I feel like the fashion is cute. You know, like, just like, I don't know, the big boots.
No, because
cute pants.
My whole thing is, and I know this doesn't really affect you, but like, I would be thinking about the beach trip we could be on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm there for skiing for the cute pants, allegedly, that I just made up, that there are cute pants.
Pink, like.
Cute pants and hot chocolate.
Totally.
And like a lodge moment.
A spiked hot chocolate.
Yeah. But I like that. To me, the beach equals vacation. To me, the beach, like, I have a very strong association with like, oh, that means I'm like, unless something or someone is on fire, don't call me.
100%.
Like, I'm off the grid completely when I'm on a beach.
But skiing, everything feels so cold to me. I can't imagine. I'm sitting in our tiny little studio in a jacket.
I know.
Because we turn on the AC.
You're in a jacket.
I'm
like
cold.
A real jacket. I'm wearing shorts.
Why am I so cold all the time now?
I was very cold. I was shivering before.
You were.
But then I get worked up talking about these assholes, and now the hoodie comes off.
Right now I feel pretty cozy.
So she's pregnant, and she calls Alex because this is what he wanted.
Thinking
so he should
be
so happy.
Over the moon.
And he answers, and she's like,
I said, well, I've just done a pregnancy test and we're having a baby. And there was this total silence at the other end of the phone. And at that point, I start panicking. And he said, oh, hang on a minute. I've just got to do something. I'll ring you back.
And he goes quiet, and he's like, oh, I'm going to have to call you back. And
yeah.
I'm like, second family? Like, what's the deal with that,
totally.
Right? 10 minutes later, he calls back, and he's very, very excited.
She's devastated. She's like, too little, too late, dick.
Yeah, and she's pregnant, and also, like, she's basically going through it alone.
Yes.
He demands that she get pregnant. She is pregnant, and now he's ghosting her, like, and they're fighting about it. She has to go to all of her scans and all of her appointments by herself.
They don't live together, also. Like, they live separately. She's doing this pregnancy herself because he wanted her to.
Right. So now it's the December 2004, 18 months into their relationship, and we're at Christine's due date.
Yeah.
And Alex, of course, can't be there because he's, quote, going abroad for a meeting. I'm like, can you pick up? Can you swing by the bank?
I know.
And unload your millions of dollars?
I know.
While you're out of town?
100%.
Like, what are you talking about?
And like, so he's gone.
You guys, I'm saying that because he's not out of town. He's
exactly.
Full of shit.
Right, right. And, but he promises he's going to be back by the time the baby is due. Christine is home alone and her water breaks 11 days early. She goes into labor 11 days early. She's calling Alex. He says he'll make his way home right now. She's like in the house, packing the bag, dragging, like in
going
labor,
yeah.
Dragging her shit to the hospital alone.
So he does not make it, of course.
Right.
Christine gives birth to Marcus, which Marcus in a British accent reminds me of that movie About a Boy.
I don't know anything about
Marcus,
this.
With Hugh Grant and Toni Collette.
Oh.
It's so good. The soundtrack is so good. It's by Badly Drawn Boy.
Oh, it's based on that movie. Based on that book. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, based on the book.
Yeah.
And so Ashley and I loved it. And so like Marcus becomes friends with Hugh Grant and wants to be friends or whatever. But they have this really great phone conversation that ends with, because Marcus is like, do you know where we live? And like giving the address. And then at the end, Hugh Grant just making fun of him because he's giving way too many details about the address. And
uh-huh.
Then Hugh Grant goes, England, the world, the universe. Like, so good.
Hugh Grant will go on any talk show and talk about how he's just grumpy all the time.
Okay.
He's just a big old grump all the time.
I don't know why.
I wouldn't want to like encounter Hugh Grant.
Yeah, I have no need to.
I'm going to tell you, I said like 2 weeks before shit went down, I was like, Patti LuPone's mean. And then like two weeks later, like the New Yorker article dropped. I was like, see, I told you.
I have news for you that I love that for you, but like, it's not the hot, like she's
it's
mean.
It's not a hot take, right.
She's just like
But I was
person.
Saying it to a bunch of gays who wanted to defend her. I was like, no, no girls.
Well, you just say she's mean.
She's
say
mean.
I love her voice, but she's mean.
Totally. I know.
Point is, I can't hear Marcus in a British accent without thinking about a boy.
Totally.
Marcus. Toni Collette, of course, superstar in that movie.
Oh my God, she's the
best.
As
she always is.
Always.
So Alex shows up late to the hospital, then get this.
Oh my God.
Brings Christine flowers.
And he said, I'm going to have to rush off. I said, okay. And he said, you haven't got 20 quid on you, have you? And I went, sorry? He said, I was in such a rush to get here. He said, I ran through the corridor, picked up this bunch of flowers, and I said to the lady, I've got no cash on me at the moment. I'll bring it back in a minute. But I'm sat there thinking, hang on, I'm paying for my own flowers.
She needs to pay for her own flowers.
She needs to pay for her own flowers.
Run.
I know.
Run.
Run.
Like, even the scam aside, he's not treating you well.
No.
Like, he threw a fit about, like, forcing you to have this baby, and
yes.
Now he's not here for it, and he's just he's not good to you.
And, like, they don't live together, and, like, anybody who's had a newborn knows, like, those first 21 years are impossible,
right.
You
yeah.
know? And, like, to do it by yourself,
right.
I, like, with other children
kids.
And recovering from having just, from the delivery, like,
right.
And he's not around, and this was his idea. Like, oh,
he doesn't
my
have
God.
A 20.
And he doesn't have a 20. He's a Rothschild.
I mean, give
he
me
doesn't
a
have
break.
A 20.
So, Alex, like you're saying, like, he's not around because he hasn't moved in, like, something. And that's by design. Like, something's always more important. It's
yes.
always like, oh,
yes.
I wish I could move in this week, but I need to go to Switzerland and not run by the bank
what
and
is,
get my
did
money.
Did you see the con mom while you were in Switzerland? What is like, going what, on in Switzerland?
Well,
I know.
I mean, they were a great place to have your money.
I guess so, but, like, Switzerland, can we get it together? Like, do you see what's going on? How many documentaries have to be made about, like, people, like, ripping people off in your name before you're going to stop being neutral about everything and
Whoa.
Just get your banking act together?
Whoa. I think it's a little stricter now.
Yeah.
In my research, it's, like, a little bit, you can't really do what, because, like, a Swiss bank, I know it's not all Swiss bank accounts, Swiss, like, the term Swiss bank account used to be synonymous with, like, shady dealings.
Yes.
Right? Offshore
yeah.
bank accounts,
yes.
a
yes.
Swiss bank account. So that's why we're saying that now, but apparently it's a little more strict than it used to be, but I don't know the ins and outs.
The world relies on good people gooding all the time. Because, like, I'm just at the point where I'm like, why don't I get a Swiss bank account? If everyone's doing
right.
it, no one gets in trouble.
If it's, like, good for finance,
right,
finance,
we, like, don't have to, like, pay taxes or whatever, like, why aren't we, let's go do that after this.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Swiss bank accounts, it also reminded me of Wolf of Wall Street because he's, like, not being a father. And I'm like, you're a father now, Jordan, a father.
I can't wait till Daisy goes to college and I can watch movies again and then I'll know what you're talking
oh,
about.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
Margot
I mean?
Margot Robbie, the best.
Oh, she's great.
You're a father now, Jordan, a father. Who, what are you, a fucking owl?
I will say the lady that Margot Robbie plays in that movie is on TikTok and I see her, like,
Naomi.
Talking about stuff all the time.
Yeah, Nadine is her real name.
Her name is Nadine.
Yeah.
What a great name.
So Alex wants to change up whatever he's supposedly doing at school. He wants to change majors and, of course, that's going to cost him money.
Yes.
So no matter what Christine asks him or there's excuses for everything or he, like, when Christine's like, well, can you call this person or can you get the money this way? No, 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 no. He can
yeah.
never get the money.
But this is what the baby was all about because he's got her so exhausted she can't really fight with him.
Yes.
So she can't have the conversation about, you're a Rothschild. Why are you? So he's asking her for another $50,000 for this new major at school.
At that stage, I'm really tired. I've got a baby that's less than 2 months old. I'm finding myself dealing with this busy life, but you just want life to be on an even keel. I just got to this stage that just wanted a quiet life. So if that's going to work for you, I loaned him the money.
She's too tired to argue, so she does.
Marcus is barely 2 months old.
But that's the point.
Right.
The whole point of this kid's existence, and Marcus, if you're listening to this, I'm so fucking sorry. I'm sure that you are amazing and wonderful and worthy, and I hate saying this out loud, but, like, this kid was created to exhaust this woman so this man could get more money out of her. And that is so fucked up.
And because on top of that, Alex, like, Christine says, well, if it didn't work out, it was, like, the end of the world.
Right.
And there was always this deadly urgency to everything. And I'm like, right, that's what they do. They break you down.
I don't even believe that she believes there's money coming to her down the road. At this point, she's just trying to get through the day.
At this point, she's just trying to survive in whatever way she can. So one day, Alex tells Christine they have to move to Geneva for some fancy new job at a fancy new bank. And I'm like, does this bank give you money or what?
She still believes it enough to be excited about this. She's like, I love to travel. I love new countries. But, like, she's going to uproot her three other kids plus Marcus now and just move because this guy says so.
Because he tells Christine to sell her house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is there another house?
Exactly.
Or is she just selling her house with these four kids?
And, like, all I can think about is, like, Christine, honey, this is all the money you have in the world. Like, you put everything into this house. You paid cash for it.
Yeah.
And, like, you've already given this guy $75,000 plus another $50,000 plus who knows what else.
Right.
Plus you bore a child for
and
him.
And your life and your sanity and your peace.
Yes.
Nothing is worth that.
No.
So Christine has £400,000 because she sells the house.
Got Alexander saying, well, I can help you invest that through a friend of mine. So I gave him £130,000. To invest on my behalf.
She gives him $130,000 to invest. I hope that she held on to the rest of it.
Yeah.
But she gives him $130,000, no questions asked.
And she's
like, let me look at the online so I can see where my money is going.
But
and
he's
let me,
the financial consultant. This is what he does. His family does this.
Like, I know. I mean, I will tell you, like, Steve manages all of our money, but I look at all of this shit all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
of course.
My joke used to be I didn't know where our money was. Well, guess what? I know where our money is now because I've been doing this long enough to know you got to know.
You got to know.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
So 8 weeks later, Christine sees a brand new BMW parked outside Alex's house.
Now, wait, I want to slow down on this for a second because she says, I was driving by Alex's house and I saw a brand new BMW. What she is not saying is she is snooping. Like, BMW aside,
Good for her.
I couldn't agree more, but I want her to be honest with us.
Yeah.
She's starting to feel like there's not, like,
something's
going on here. Is there another woman? Is there another family? Like, what's the deal? She's not just casually driving by his house. She's snooping.
Good for her.
I love it.
Marcus is 3 months old and this piece of shit is never around.
Totally.
So where are you?
Yeah.
If you're not being a father now, Jordan, then where are you?
I shot the clerk?
Like, where are you
I
then?
Know.
So good.
Right. No, all I'm saying is we're scooting past the fact that she's, like, snooping,
sure.
Which I love.
Sure.
But she sees this brand new BMW. She asks him about it. He says, oh, it was given to me by that Swiss bank to avoid paying taxes, whatever
it's the company
means.
Car.
I mean, I thought it was odd. And I said, well, why didn't you mention it? Well, I just thought you'd be cross. He hated me questioning him. Sometimes he'd storm out.
So he picks a fight with her and storms out.
Right. So then, you know, then they'd make up and the flowers, the same old shit.
And my note here is, like, people question your partners, especially when they've got all the money and you can't see anything. Like, the reason she was a good mark for him was because she's so sweet and kind and lovely and passive. And he knew that she wouldn't question him, you know?
And then when she did, she was made to feel like shit about it. When all of these questions are completely
totally
valid.
Travel down the road back again. Girl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight.
Yeah, so do you remember summertime as a kid?
Oh, do I ever, the Goonies of it all.
Oh. Exactly that.
Yes, exactly that.
So summer used to be different where all these kids were, like, out until the streetlights came home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of kids are, like, inside as iPad kids now.
Oh,
this
God.
Feels like the perfect time to teach your kids real world money skills that they'll actually use.
So that's the thing. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families that helps kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. And let me tell you, we use this with Daisy every week. I always talk about this. It's got a chores feature. We set it up so that she does her chores. It pays her automatically. On Friday afternoon, we sit down, we open the app, we see how much much money she's got saved. And we talk about, like, does she want to continue to save? What are her goals? And then we decide how much money she's going to spend for the weekend.
Yeah, and you can customize that to your household.
Yes.
So you can reward kids with their allowance for a job well done or, like, whatever you need.
Yeah. I was never given any financial training as a kid, ever. And it's the thing I didn't have that I wish I had had the most.
Yeah.
And I feel very proud to be able to, like, start talking about money and finances and understanding the importance of saving and spending with my daughter. I love Greenlight. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, because they're also, like, not teaching it in school either.
No.
Like, I would have loved to have learned all of this stuff. That it's like, it doesn't feel scary when
yes.
you're an adult. It's like teaching them good habits now.
100%. Fam, Greenlight is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
Maybe that's why millions of parents trust and kids love learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance and safety app.
So don't wait to teach your kids real-world money skills. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO. Girl, Hydro is back. Hydro is that full body workout of a rowing machine. Can I tell you a story?
Please.
So they sent us one last year when we started working with them. We put it in our building's gym. This morning, I was on the treadmill. Somebody who lives in my hall came in, got on the Hydro. He says he's been using the Hydro every single day because he hurt his back from running.
Ooh.
He discovered rowing using the Hydro app, and he does these rows because the whole thing with Hydro is that you can take rows guided by, like, Olympians.
Yes.
You can do them on, like, the Charles River in Boston, or you can do it in the river in London, whatever that one is called.
Yeah.
And he was doing a 6,000-meter row on that London River this morning.
Whoa.
And he was so into it. I was like, I use it all the time, too. Hydro is the best.
Here's the thing about Hydro. You're hitting 86% of your muscles in one session.
Yes.
You could do it in about 20 minutes just to get that full-body workout. And
yep.
it's also, like, low impact. So if you have an injury, it still gives you a mix of strength and cardio.
Yes.
You can really see results.
You really see results. And there's, like, such a wide range of things you can do. You can do, like, Olympic level. You can do guided. You can do not guided. They can play the music for you. You can play your own music. It
yeah.
is really such an awesome piece of equipment. I'm obsessed with
it. And if you're someone who's like, I need something visually beautiful and distracting
yes.
for these 20 minutes.
And you're not looking at a picture of me.
Exactly.
Yeah, something else.
They have these, like, beautiful places all over the
it's
world.
It's true.
They also offer free shipping, a 30-day risk-free trial, and a 1-year warranty. So you don't feel locked in. Like, you
no.
can try it out first and see if it works for you.
Exactly. So fam, skip the gym, not the workout. Stay on track with Hydro.
For a limited time, go to Hydro.com and use code TCO to save up to $450
Whoa.
Off your Hydro Pro Rower.
That's HYDROW.com, code TCO, to save up to $450.
Yeah, Hydro.com, code TCO.
I love skip the gym, not the workout. I'm
yeah.
into it.
And it's only 20 minutes, honestly.
Oh, I know, truly.
I'm still going to be counting the seconds, but I'll take it. It's 20 minutes. So Christine has met some of this guy's family, but not all of them.
Yeah.
So she met his mother. She met his sisters. She has not met his older brother because Alex doesn't get along with him because Alex hates the sister-in-law. I'm like, we got to meet the sister-in-law. She knows the truth.
Diane, get in here, Diane.
Like, where are you, girl?
Yeah, yeah.
So they eventually all meet. And the brother, who Alex says he doesn't get along with, and the sister-in-law, the brother was, like, a little cool to Christine.
Yes.
But the sister-in-law
oh my God.
Was lovely, and they get along very well. And I'm like, talk to the sister-in-law. She knows.
And so it happens. July 2006, they're 3 years into the relationship, and Christine tells us she invited the sister-in-law to her house for coffee.
And they're becoming friends, and Alex hates it.
Guess who's got all the time in the world that day to show up for the coffee date
right.
that he wasn't fucking invited
Where
to?
Where were you at the birth of your son? Nowhere to be found.
To
but
be
now,
found.
The two women are
yep.
starting to talk and ask some questions and get
yep.
some information, then he can't handle it.
And Christine's like, it was so weird that Alex was there, but whatever. So then Chrissy invites the sister-in-law back a few weeks later, and Alex is pissed.
And so Christine tells the sister-in-law.
I rang her and I said, Alexander's really not happy that we're spending time together. And she said, well, that'll probably be because I know too much. And I hope you're not financially involved with him.
I hope you're not financially involved with him.
And then she goes, and when I heard that, my heart just sunk.
Right. And I'm sure, I don't know, we don't get the details of it, but I'm thinking, it sounds a little bit like the sister-in-law was like, hey girl, what are you doing today?
Yeah.
To like
yes.
get Christine alone and warn her like, he doesn't like me because I called him on his shit. And just
right.
so you know, like, get into those bank accounts, like, figure something out because he's going to take you down.
Yeah. So,
like, August, financially, like,
right.
that can destroy you.
I mean, and it's like, if you know somebody who is conning somebody, you owe it to that. You owe it to the world. It'll be paid back to you 100%. I promise.
Of course.
You got to tell these people that their lives are about to be ruined.
And so that, and the sister-in-law, I don't think knows the half of it.
Right.
She just knows that, like, he's a liar and a con man, just
and
with money,
shady.
Not knowing anything else.
Right. And so, Christina's like looking at her finances. She says, like, the three times she's given him money, 130 grand, 75 grand, and 50 grand. And she says, and there was more on top of that. And so the sister-in-law says to her, if you think he's a Rothschild, then my husband is Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, you got another
savage,
thing coming.
Sister-in-law.
You got another thing coming. And she says, well, he takes the credit cards out in his brother's name. That's why the sister-in-law hates him.
Yes.
Not the other way around.
Exactly.
Alex wanted to keep Christine away from the brother and sister-in-law, but the real reason is because he's using his brother's name.
Right.
And the brother and sister-in-law are on top of his shit and they know what he's doing. And so they want him away from Christine.
And I just don't understand how these people get away with this for so long. Why is this guy not in prison? You took out credit cards in your brother's name? That's credit card fraud.
Yeah. And it's just like, what's the protocol here when we're all at the barbecue?
I know.
Or we're all at the mom's house for dinner and everyone knows what's going on. But
right.
Christine, like, when, like, don't you just like,
and it
pull
was
her into the bathroom and say, girl.
It's also early days of the internet. Like, this was 2006. It's pre-Google. And I'm like, I feel like, you just make websites about these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that, like, people, like, you just got to get it. You got to get it out there.
And I'm sure they didn't think it was that bad. Like, oh, he's a liar. He's going to steal her
right.
money. I don't think they knew it was $250,000.
Totally.
Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. But we aren't told that.
Well, and also, Christina's like, I was panicking. And I sat with this information for 2 days. And that really made me think, like, they go long stretches without seeing each other.
Yep.
He is the father of her child, and they go long stretches without even speaking.
Yeah, by design.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh my God. She finally puts it all together. The hard reality is hitting her. She's devastated. She's in shock. And she's like, I'm financially ruined. Like,
yes.
So she goes to confront Alex.
I said, I want some money. It's as simple as that. You need to return some of my money. He just looked at me, and the mask just drops, and he screamed in my face. Fuck off, bitch.
The mask just dropped.
Yeah,
like
that
the real
happens.
Monster came out.
Like, that will always happen.
Yeah.
With these cons, big, small, money, not money, whatever, there's always a moment where you're like, oh, there you are.
There you are.
In Hook, they say, oh, there you are, Peter. And it was cute and it makes you cry because it's Peter Pan and Robin Williams. But
usually
in moments like this, you're like, oh, got it. And usually that will wake you up in a sense where you're like, here's what I have to do. I have to get a plan. And that's what happens with Christine.
Thank the Lord.
So a few weeks later, because Christine is stunned, but she's like, get your shit together. Bring me my money or else.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks go by, which seems like a very long time for the exchange they just had.
And also for him to not see his own child. You know what I mean?
Because he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. So it's like a few weeks later, Alex calls Christine and is like, I have to leave the country. It's the only, I'm totally going to get your money. Don't worry about it. But the only way I can get it is if I leave the country. So why don't you go live with your ex-husband until this all blows over? I'm like, until what blows over?
Why don't you go take our baby and go live with your ex-husband?
I'd be like, come on in. We need to have a conversation.
Totally.
We need to make a plan here because you're not just going to stay here and continue to live like this.
And like, be like,
you need help.
100%.
You need help.
And remember we learned in Con Mom, like there's a way in England that you can get people like declared like financially vulnerable or whatever.
Yeah. So Christine is like, okay, enough. I'm going to the cops. That was all she needed.
Yes.
She's had it. So she files a report and she's like, you know, nothing's going to change. She said it felt like an initial meeting. She's just kind of starting the paper trail.
Yeah.
So by November 2006, this has been going on for 3.5 years. It's almost Christmas. She has no money. She's in a bad place. She keeps getting asked out. She's like, God, no, never again.
I know.
Until Philip comes along.
Yeah. I was trying to understand this. Philip is an author selling books in like his own books, selling them downtown somewhere.
But he's also like her friend. Convince her to go for a drink with another investment banker, and I'm like, no!
I know, but wait a second. Philip is a children's book author slash investment banker who's working during the day selling his own books and asking her out for like a midday
date. I definitely thought this is scam number two.
1,000,000%.
And like, it felt like her friend, I'm like, girl,
can
you
imagine if it happened again?
Well, wait till we get to Hey Beautiful. You wait. So, it's a good thing, everyone. I'll like calm your fears now.
Yeah.
I thought this was scam number two, or he knew Alex or whatever. No. Philip is a good guy.
He's great.
Against all odds, he's a good one.
Totally. They meet in a pub like some afternoon, and that's where he tells her that he worked in investment banking. I wrote run. But then the difference between Philip and Alex is like Philip wants to know about her, wants to get to know her, and like not in a creepy, scammy way.
But also because Philip is actually in this world, he's asking all the right questions about this guy that scammed her out of $500,000 or whatever. And he, in 2 seconds, he's like, this guy's a fraud. How can I help?
This is crazy.
This is horrible that he did this to you. You have 4 children. Like, come on.
Right.
So, by New Year's Eve, 2 things are happening. 1, Phil and Christine are spending a lot of time together. And 2...
New Year's Eve, Philip came over and we decided that we would go full pelt and investigate, do whatever it took to bring Alexander to justice.
They're going to work together to take down Alex.
Yeah, which is so, I love the idea that they are going to track this son of a bitch down.
Oh, they're going to get him.
They're going to find him.
We're getting him.
Yeah.
So now she has a lawyer, and the lawyer tells Christine, file for Alexander's bankruptcy, force him to go to court, and that way you can ask questions.
This confused, you can file for somebody else's bankruptcy?
I guess in the UK, I don't know, but I guess because she had given him money or I think it's a way for her to demand the receipts for where all this money went.
Yes.
I guess.
Because they were married or they weren't married?
They were not married, but they're large sums of money.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess she has a right to...
The laws over there, in my estimation, are better.
Whatever. The lawyer said she could do it. Fine.
Right. Totally.
Whatever. So, because the point is, if Christine can prove that he used her money to buy the new BMW, that car belongs to her.
Oh my God. This was incredible. So she does. She was able to figure out that the money, remember when she gave him the $130,000 to invest? That's what he used to buy the Beamer, right?
Within a day and a half, he's got a new car. Come
exactly.
On. Doesn't
exactly,
take much.
Exactly. So Christine and Philip drive around looking for the car. Alexander's gone into hiding. They hire a private investigator. This PI finds this car in 40 minutes.
40 minutes. The car is around the corner from where? His mother's house, of course.
Exactly.
And then the tow truck had come up. I've got it on the back of the truck and we drove away. I was able to sell it and recoup £35,000.
They find the car, they take it.
They take it.
I was trying to imagine the scene where Alex goes out to boop, boop.
Yeah.
The BMW, the Beamer. And it's
the Beamer.
And it's gone. And he can't even report it stolen because it's not his.
Right. It's not his. So Christine gets about £35,000 back. And I'm like, great, only $225,000 more to go.
I know.
But we're chipping away.
I know.
So.
Sorry. I'm really enjoying picturing the look on his face when the Beamer's gone.
What?
Woo, woo. Where's, wait.
What? What? Woo, woo. Where'd you tell mommy you got the car from?
I know.
Where'd you tell her?
Mommy puts it in your mouth.
Please. That's from Con Mom. So disgusting. So Christine and Philip are now dating because this whole thing really brought them together.
I love it.
They're going through all the finances. They're tracking down where all the money's going. He's going to the pub. He's buying designer clothes.
Yeah.
He's doing everything but taking care of his kid or being a partner to Christine or being a decent human.
He's spending $30,000 at Ralph Lauren. Tell me you're a fucking basic bitch.
I know. And
unless you love it and you're listening to this, in which case you're awesome.
Fine, but you're not a scammer. You're not this guy.
Unless you are.
Unless
in which case,
are.
Turn us off.
Bye.
You're not invited to listen to us.
No, I've told you a million times. I don't want you listening.
Casey Anthony, turn this off right now. Turn it off right now.
That name just hit me like a bullet.
I'm sorry.
I was not expecting to have to discuss Casey Anthony today.
Have you seen the TikTok where
I saw one and said, not interested.
No, not her. There was a TikTok that went viral that was this guy who brings a date to a dinner party and it's Casey Anthony.
But it's not really.
It's not real.
Oh,
but all the friends have to bring him into is that Casey Anthony at my fucking house?
No, I would. No, she would be.
Can you imagine?
She'd be removed from my home. Post haste. And as would that person.
Did you say post haste?
Post haste. Did I use it right? I don't know.
Yeah, it's great.
I have no idea.
How would you get her out?
And the quote friend.
Yeah.
I would push her out of my home.
Would you literally drop kick her down the hallway?
I don't know how to do that. Ideally in my fantasy world, sure.
Okay, you're right.
You know,
yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I would just
totally.
I would just say right this way. and get her the fuck out.
You would remove the cocktail that Mike had made, specifically for the guests.
Before, because he likes to do it, have everything chilled before they
100%.
Arrive. So that when you walk in, it's
yes.
So he wouldn't know that it was her.
That's what I mean.
Or I'd be Fiona, go get her.
Totally.
Fiona would be what? I'm not an attack dog. But that bark is very ferocious.
It's
so I don't
true.
Know. I would just say, you need to leave. And this friend I thought you were to me, now you're not. Goodbye.
Get out of here.
And now,
Lin-Manuel Miranda, get out.
Can you imagine? She would never. Can you imagine Lin-Manuel Miranda? Oh my God. I'd be it's over.
That's the weirdest dinner party. You, Mike, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and his date, Casey
I'd
Anthony.
Be where's Vanessa? Why are you bringing this asshole to my home? This is
Hear me
out. Are you all right?
Home.
Are
That's
you okay?
That's how he says it. Home.
Home. Merry Christmas, you old building and loan. I'm home. Catherine Knight is a journalist, and she explains that in 3 years, this guy took £600,000 from Christine.
I can't stop thinking about that dinner party.
She probably wouldn't leave. She'd probably be what? And then I'd have to be
you and Mike and Lin-Manuel Miranda and Casey Anthony.
It would never.
I can't.
That's a dream you had last night, and now you're projecting and deflecting.
You know what? It's time to take the coat off. I'm finally warm.
It's about time.
I'm finally warm.
I wish I knew how to drop kick.
Oh my God.
Because I would drop kick her.
I'm home.
You're going to listen to In the Heights later?
Yeah.
I'm home. Travel
down the road and back again. Girl, Helix is back. Look, this is that amazing mattress. We both have one. You know this. I've been traveling a lot. I've been sleeping in hotel beds a lot over the last couple of months. I am always so excited to get home to my Helix mattress. It's like a warm bath.
Yeah, they always say, like, there's nothing like sleeping in your own bed.
It's really true.
Now, like, double that when you have a Helix mattress.
100%.
And I'm, like, a difficult sleeper.
Yes. Right?
Like, I kind of need a lot to have a restful sleep.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I used to toss and turn a lot. I'm big about temperature. Like, I'm kind of
Same.
A hot sleeper. And so with Helix, I have the Midnight Lux.
Yes.
And it takes care of all of that.
Well, you got matched with it because they've got this, like, 2-minute online sleep quiz. You literally go in there, but if you're sleeping alone, you do it by yourself. You've got a partner. You don't even have to have the same sleep preferences. You both say what you like, and they tell you the mattress that is perfect for you. I was very skeptical of this.
Yeah.
But both Steve and I love our mattress, and we're not the same person, if you didn't know.
Yeah, it's been, like, such an upgrade.
Yes.
Too, because I remember what it was like to wake up, obviously, like, knowing I didn't rest the night
yes.
before.
We had people staying in our apartment, and they sent us a picture of them pulling the sheet up at the foot of the bed so they could see which kind of Helix mattress
we had. So they could order
it? So they could literally order it. How funny is that?
I love it.
So, fam, get in on the Helix. Go to helixsleep.com/TCO for 27% off site-wide.
That's helixsleep.com/TCO for 27% off site-wide.
Do it. Go do it now. You're going to thank us.
Yeah, helixsleep.com/TCO.
That's it.
And I like the Midnight Lux. You know, find what's good for you, but I swear by it. So Christine needs more information on Alex. So she barters with a journalist and she's like, look.
She asked him if he'd be willing to do some research for her, if she in turn was willing to give him her story. He duly did some research and uncovered a completely fascinating article from the Daily Mail in 1994.
I got a great story. If you do the research, I'll give you the story. And the journalist is
I'll give you the exclusive.
It. Yeah.
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
It's like a very smart way to handle this.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll tell you everything, but you do it.
Because it really...
she's done enough.
Totally. And like, I don't know exactly when Google launched, but this was like before we really knew how to like use the search engines to like find
I got news for you. A lot of times today, people still don't know how to use
Truly.
Google. Google is free. Everyone uses it.
I know. Remember like Ask Jeeves and Dogpile?
Like...
And like that's what she's dogpiling... Alexander.
Dogpile? Like, what was the point
I'm sorry,
of
you
that?
Were probably, like, in preschool, no, but, like, Dogpile was, like, it was, like, it was, like, Ask Jeeves
Dogpile. I know the name of it, but
yeah.
I've never used it, but, like, what a stupid name.
I know.
Ask Jeeves? We're, like, asking... Did they say that in Parks and Rec where it's like you ask a butler to Google things for you?
You literally, because you would put it into Ask Jeeves and then you'd
and
see the butler
like
run
tray.
Off to like find the information.
Give me a break.
I know.
Hey, everyone, when you ask a question that's easily Googleable, the person you're asking feels like Jeeves.
Yes.
Google it yourself.
100%.
Like, Google it yourself.
Google it yourself. But the point is, she didn't have that at her disposal, so I'm glad that she had this, like, researcher to do this for her.
Right. So there's an article from the Daily Mail, which we hate, but it's from 1994, and it has some information.
We've been in the Daily Mail. They said nice things about us. They like our podcast.
Oh, but we hate them.
I know. But I'm just saying, we've been there. Yeah. But yeah, but, like, this is my question, is that, like, it feels like this journalist found this article as quickly as the PI found the car.
Yeah,
like,
40 minutes.
So, like, I know that, like, the practice of Googling people that you're dating, like, it was new back then, but, like, there was information about this guy out there in the world that could have been found.
Yeah.
And so, like, in this article, we learn...
It said he'd been arrested in Finland for leaving behind business debts and thousands of unpaid hotel bills. He'd used the Rothschild name to get the backing of the Albanian government to run a huge development, and he'd convinced investors to put tens of thousands into the project.
And had convinced investors to put tens of thousands of dollars into the project, like, in Albania?
Well, here's the thing. It didn't end too well for him because the Albanians called the Rothschilds.
Just called them.
And they're like, who?
I know.
No, we don't. I don't know her.
The Rothschild did the 1994-iest thing. They took out a full-page ad.
The Sultan of Brunei did that with Con Mom to be like, we don't know her. Like, don't. No.
They take out a full-page ad in what's the publication?
I don't know. In the Financial Times.
In the Financial Times would be like, we don't know her.
Distancing themselves.
We don't know. We learned that his name is not Alexander Mark Adolphus Nathaniel Diarchian de Rothschild Hatton. It's just Mark Hatton.
It's just Mark Hatton. But everyone calls him Alexander, so we're going to call him Alexander.
Yeah,
but his name is Mark.
Yes. But the point is, like, as far back as 1994, people have been debunking his shit.
Yeah.
And this is, like, 2006 now.
So now we're actually in 2008. January 2008, four and a half 5.5 years, and Christine makes a website about him, warning others and asking people to contact her.
Now, this, I think to this day, is the smartest thing you can do. If you get conned or swindled, make a fucking website.
Or, like, make a TikTok page about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
make something that's Googleable so that when, like, when somebody Googles, because people will, and if you're not, you should be. Yeah. At this point, there's no excuse. 2025, you Google everybody you meet in your life.
Yeah.
You gotta.
Wait till we get to Hey Beautiful, because there's, like, we learn about, like, this website network about people, like,
oh my God,
just like shaming the scammers and outing them.
Oh,
it's
good.
Great. It's like a huge resource. Started where? The UK. So,
of course. Where you can declare bankruptcy for other people.
Great.
I love the UK.
Great. This guy emails her. His name is also Philip. So,
yes.
Like,
it was confusing for me for just a second.
So, different Philip.
But he emails her on the website. So, like, this is working. We're finding people that were scammed by Alexander.
And he says, 10 years ago, like, I was scammed by this guy. And this Alexander, they were like business partners and the same shit, right? Alex, like, promised all this money.
It was also just, like, this guy, Philip, they were business partners in the sense that Philip had a normal job at a retail company, and Alex was a customer, and Philip loses his job and gets, like, a small severance package, and Alex is like, let's go into business together. I'm the Sultan of Brunei's ex-kid or whatever.
And just put everything on your credit card, Phil.
It was down to myself, who had a redundancy package and a credit card. And we were bumping along with that. And also, I actually obtained funds from friends to help us set up. And he said, it'll all be refunded for you double, don't worry. But that never happened.
And then Alex runs off into the night with all the money. And it's just, it's so, like, they're not scamming people who have money to spare is the thing that makes me crazy.
It's like it adds to the cruelty of it.
Yes,
and so, because Phil gets a look at some of the finances, and it's, like, very obvious that Alex was doctoring the documents and photoshopping, however you photoshopped in 1994.
Yeah.
Scotch tape or whatever.
I was like, Chilean will understand this part. I don't know what's going on.
So, but Alex is eventually arrested for what he was doing with this Phil 10 years ago.
Yes.
So 10 years ago in 2008. So, like, in the 90s, right?
Yes.
So he was eventually arrested and charged with theft. And he was found guilty of 4 counts of theft, 1 count of false accounting, I guess, for, like, doctoring the documents, and 1 count of contempt of court. So he gets sent.
Oh, I was like, I want more on that. Like, did he scream at the judge? I want to know what he did.
Or he didn't show up, or he tried to, like, scam the judge or something.
He, like, turned down a sidebar.
Sidebar. That's Bev.
I love when she's like, enough with your shenanigans.
Sidebar.
Enough with your shenanigans.
What? Why?
Fam, we're very invested in the Karen Reed trial right now. Very invested.
What a fucking monstrosity this whole thing is. Jesus Christ. What a mess. Like, but that's Bev. That's the judge, if you don't know, everyone. Just sighing for Jesus.
What a fucking
she's
monstrosity.
She's like, is it 2:30? Can I call it?
I know.
She insists everyone, we're all on time.
I know.
But she's can't wait to get the hell out of there.
Oh, my God.
So.
Well, he gets 18 months in prison. Like, this guy served prison time. But, like, in the pre-internet days when he met Christine.
Yeah.
Like, you could get away with this shit. Like, time and time again.
And it was, like, a small enough charge.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
Considering. So Christine and this Philip, now the two Philips and Christine are all working together.
You know, and Christine says it was really lovely to meet him because we understood each other because we had a shared experience. She's like, when you're a person who's been the victim of a con artist, people will often look at you and be like, how did you fall for this?
Yeah.
Like, and she's saying that, like, when I met Philip, he'd been through it too and he got it.
Totally.
You know, and I know that I'm being a little hard. I understand why she fell for it. It is not her fault.
It's always a slow burn.
Whole thing is, like, we're sitting in this booth for 90 minutes screaming at each other. I want people to get something out of this. Like, it's okay to question people. And, like, especially at the beginning of a relationship, and if you really want the relationship, it can feel so unsafe to question, or you're going to feel rude, or the person's not going to like you anymore.
Yeah.
You got to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You got to.
Be okay with being disliked. It's fine.
Oh, God.
It's really fine.
Oh,
it's
Jesus.
It's, like, really okay. It doesn't matter.
Oh, high school me did not like that.
It doesn't matter.
Therapy me is better about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, oh, my God.
But, like, by who? Some guy who tried to buy you a drink? Bye.
I know.
Who cares?
I know.
Hate me for the rest of your life. Great.
I know.
I don't think about you at all. Amazing.
Look what you made me do.
Bye. Like, bye.
I know.
You
I
can
know.
Hate me. Have fun. I'm living my life. Bye.
But it is hard. Like, Google everybody. Don't trust everybody right away. Keep your personal shit to yourself as long as you can.
Right. And then, like, you know, we see it even back then and now. Like, then she's, like, too far gone. You know, like, that's how they get you.
Yes.
Now we're going to take a turn, because this guy isn't just scamming people. The cops tell Christine,
before your case takes off, we've already had another complaint in of a sexual nature to a minor.
So this guy's a fucking predator. On top of all of this, he's a sexual predator.
And, okay, they don't give us much information about this, and I can't decide if that's for better or for worse, but, like, it feels like I suddenly, Chrissy, I love you, and I'm sorry you went through this, but I don't care anymore. Like, this guy needs to burn. Like, this, like, and it's, like, we learn about one instance here. There are many, many, many more. And rapes of adults as well.
Yeah, he's, like, a horrifying monster.
It's, like, that's the monstrosity.
Right. So Christine starts getting more emails from the United States. So she gets three more emails from her website from the same family.
Now, this family is saying, like, oh my God, thank God we found your website. This guy lives with my mother. What do we do?
Right.
Because can you see it that, like, these three kids know they can see what's going on, but the mom cannot.
Right.
In the way that, like, Heather and the pastry chef from Con Mom, she could see it, he could not.
Right.
And they are desperate for, like, how do we break the spell for my mother?
So now we know where he is. He's in upstate New York.
He's in Mount Kisco. And I love that Chrissy's like, it seems like a cute little town just north of New York City.
Guess what? But she wants to go there. So we know where he is, but it's complicated because now they have to extradite him to the UK and it's a ton of work. And they can't guarantee that he will still be at that address by the time everything goes through.
Yeah.
So the UK cops say no.
And now we've loved the UK cops up until now, but it's kind of like, fuck that. They're like, they basically are saying it's too much work. We're not going to do
it. So Christine and her Phillips are like,
so if we went over to New York and we found him and had him deported, how would that work for you? And the detective just laughed and she said, oh, you'd be handing him to us on a plate. And without a bat of an eyelid, Philip was booking tickets.
The cops are in full support. When they're like, if we go and get him ourselves, they're like, you'll save us a ton of money.
Yeah, like,
this guy is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous man.
Right. So they call Gil Alba, former New York City Police Department, current private eye.
I love this guy.
And they give him the address they have for Alexander. And he goes there right away, sits on the house for like 24 hours.
Totally.
Now, the PI and Christine and her two Phillips follow this piece of shit to the gym the next morning.
Because, like, Phil, the PI, meets him at the airport. They're like, we got him. We got to go now.
Right. So they're going
to follow him to the gym. What is this guy doing at the gym?
Like, nothing.
Come
a whole
on.
Lot of nothing.
Yeah.
So they're going to confront Alex at the gym. So they all post up in the parking lot, wait for Alex. Christine goes, there he is in his little pink shorts. Can you imagine, though? You're Alex. You're in upstate New York thinking you got away with it.
Oh.
And Christine from the UK is in the parking lot. Like, what a mind fuck.
Well,
good.
I know. And, like, we see pictures of him in this moment. And he looks surprised and he looks angry.
I'm sure he was more surprised than he's ever been in
his life. 1,000,000%. Like, you think
surreal.
That these people are just dead. They're gone to you.
So Alex and Christine walk towards each other in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And she confronts him.
He says, don't do this to me, Chrissy.
And then she goes, and then he starts to scuttle off back to the gym.
I know.
Like, what? So Christine's like, okay, we got him. Like, now what? Like, now what do we do?
Yeah.
Christine has to go to the state police and explain everything that's going on and then tell the New York state police the British police would like a word with Alex. And Christine's like, so that's what we did.
And they do it. They also talk to the FBI and INS and they go back to the hotel and they're like, this has got it. Like, talking to Nancy from Scamanda.
Yeah.
Like, when you've given all the information, but you have no idea if they're going to use it or
and
not.
And as we learned, the wheels of justice move very slowly.
And so, like, so Christine and Philip go back to their hotel that night. They're getting on a plane the next morning. 5 a.m., the phone rings in their hotel room. It's one of the kids from the website. And they're like, oh my God, the FBI and INS was just here. Like, they fucking got him.
The moment he stepped off the plane, he was greeted by a number of police officers from Gloucestershire Police who promptly arrested him and charged him with fraud. And in the months that followed, he was subsequently charged with 4 counts of rape and 3 counts of sexual assault of a minor.
In addition to, like, all of the financial crimes, he's charged with 4 counts of rape and 3 counts of sexual assault of a minor.
And also, are her kids okay?
Right.
He never touched them. We don't hear about that.
I know.
They don't tell us any, whatever. Like, we just don't know about
that. The sexual crimes are not a part of this documentary really at all. We get kind of all of it on, like, on-screen text. It's very, very upsetting.
Right. So in February of 2010, the trial starts. There's tons of media. Christine is there. She testifies.
Yeah.
She tells her story. He is guilty. 7 counts of, quote, obtaining money transfers by deception. Which is, like, lots of words.
Exactly.
And prior to this, he was convicted of, but not sentenced for, his sex crimes.
So he's being sentenced all at once.
The fraud and the rapes and the assaults.
So he's sentenced to 18 years in prison, 3 years for the fraud and 15 years for sexual offenses, which I believe in Britain is a very hefty sentence. Like, they don't sentence the way that we do.
So he's bankrupt. He's a convicted sex offender on the list and he's going away for 18 years. And now we meet Marcus.
So Marcus is the son of Alexander and Christine. And yeah. I gasped when he sat down because I was like, do we really need to do this to him? Do we really need to put him in front of a camera?
But based on what he says, like, he wanted to do it.
Yeah, and I get that. I just, these kids, he's still a kid. He looks like he's 10, 12 years old.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
so young looking. And he said,
like, obviously, I always sort of knew that my dad wasn't, like, around. And then I think it was around the age of, like, 5 or 6 that I sort of learned that he'd, like, taken a lot of money off my mom. It was around the time I was 10 was when I found out everything.
And when he was about 10, he learned everything.
Yeah.
And because he said to his mom, like, he knew his mom, he knew his dad was in prison for 18 years, and he thought it was just for the fraud. And he says to his mom that 18 years seems like a lot of time for fraud.
Yeah.
And that's when the mom, I mean, when he's 10 years old, she says, and I understand this as, like, a parent of an adopted kid, like, when they ask the question seems to be the right time to give the answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she says, all I could do was answer the questions, but she tells him about the sex crimes.
Right.
And even now, like, he says in that moment, he became despondent. He was, like, outside of himself. Right now, telling us that information, he seems... Because I don't know how, when you are the product of that, of a person who was like that, mm-hmm. how you can't wonder if there's that in you, too.
Yeah,
and what I'm saying is, I'm sure there isn't, Marcus. I'm sure you're perfect and wonderful. And,
yeah.
But as a kid, you must grapple with thoughts like that.
And Marcus, you know, kind of says as much and says that, like, Marcus and Christine and her kids are just navigating this all in the best possible way they can.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing their best. They have each other. They're trying to keep it in the past. They do what they can do.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. big things, small things, every, you know, like, on a day-to-day aspect and also in the much bigger picture, like,
yeah,
you know, they're trying to move on from this monster who was in their lives for a little bit,
like,
and they're just trying to get better.
Life wrecker.
Yeah, life,
you know,
wrecker.
Like,
and, like, they're all really close, so it got them closer together.
Yeah.
And Marcus is, like, super protective of his mom and just wants her to, like, have this great life.
And I love that the other two kids clearly wanted nothing to do with the documentary and so
Good.
Did not participate.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got the guy.
We got
and
him.
We had to, she came to New York to do it.
I know. Mount Kisco.
There he goes in his little pink shorts, she said. See, she had some great singers in this.
It's true.
It was great.
Girl, we did. What's it called?
Manhunt, the liar, the thief, the con man.
My friend Tom texted me the other day. He's like, have you ever known the name at the end? I'm like, I don't, but somehow you always do. I don't know how. Oh, at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so smart.
And the name of the doc is Manhunt, the liar, the thief, the con man. I just name it.
Oh,
now that you're in Google Docs, you know.
I can do it now. Fam, don't forget, join the Facebook group. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group. Join us on the Patreon, but only if you want, like, 500 full ad-free bonus episodes.
And drag bingo every month.
And drag bingo. Go and send, I'll send you stuff in the mail. All of us will send you stuff in the mail. Ad-free apps, only if you want that
only
stuff.
If you want it. Only if you're interested in that kind of thing.
What are we doing next?
We are doing Worst Ex Ever, Episode 4, Married to a Monster. This is the last of the Worst Ex Ever series.
I feel like they're all monsters.
They are.
Okay, great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's not just a clever name.
Okay, good.
Very accurate.
All right, fam. Well, stay tuned for the trailer for that, and we love you.
We love you. Stay safe out there. Listen to your gut.
Listen to your gut.
We love you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
People tell me all the time it's not my fault. I have heard hundreds of times it's not your fault. But I should have seen the red flags.
I was sleeping in my room. I heard 2 pops and it woke me up.
I should have moved. I should have been more careful. I should have played it safe.
She's lying face down in her own blood. I am scared to open the door.
Had I known that the most dangerous time for a person in a domestic violence relationship is when they try to leave, had I known that, I probably would have done things differently.